This daf is daf Ayin Gimel. So we got to the bottom of Ayin Beis and Beis, the last three lines. Gemara says Tanur Rabbanim. Tanur Rabbanim Ger Nose Mamzeres Divrei Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi holds that a Ger is permitted to marry a Mamzeres, and that's because Rashi tells us that the look of four or five lines up Ger Nasa Nose Mamzeres the Kasavar Kal Gerim Lo Ikri Kal. Ger are not considered Kal. They're not considered part of Kal Klaisa. They are Jewish. They don't have to keep to the standards of marrying only certain people.
That's so the first generation, right?
First generation of a ger, exactly. The next generation is considered full-fledged. Exactly.
So the ger...
regarding other halachas. Regarding other halachas, very good, but not regarding these halachas of marrying. Marrying, we have the psukim say kal. So Gemara says the ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres because the ger is not considered part of the kal, and they can marry whomever they want. Maybe Yehuda Omer... Ger lo yisa mamzeres. No, ger is not allowed to. Ger still has standards, and they're considered part of the kahal. That's the machlokas. The thing where it says echad ger echad eved meshuchar, whether it be a ger, whether it be an eved meshuchar, we've discussed many times. Eved meshuchar, in his essence, he is a ger as well, right? When he becomes an eved, a goy, he becomes an eved, and then he's freed. He's a full fledged Jew. That's a process of gerus. So echad a ger, and echad eved meshuchar. The chalal, is a kohen who lost his kedusha because the kohen married a grusha. The child's a chalal. These are mutarim b'kohenes. They're allowed to marry a kohenes. Kohenes does not have to does not have the same standards as a kohen. She may marry these individuals, even though a kohen cannot marry a gioras or a shivcha mishuchares or a chalala. A kohenes may marry such individuals. So Gemara wants to know my time with Rabbi Yossi. What was the reason for Rabbi Yossi? That he held that a ger may marry a mamzeres because he holds chamisha kal aksivi. He looked at the psukim. It says the word kal five times. There are five different categories of kal. And who does this refer to? Who has to marry within the kahal? So says the Gemara on top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, chal kohanim, chal levim, chal yisraelim, chal mishrei mamzer b'shustuki, that a mamzer may marry a shtuki, and chal mishrei shtuki b'yisrael, and then a shtuki is also allowed to marry Yisrael. So those are five different kal, but we say kal gerim lo ikri kal, but there's no available word kal to indicate that gerim are also included as part of the kal, and that's why a kal may marry mamzeres, because there are no standards for the gerim, because again, they're not part of the kal. Rabbi Yehuda argues, he says these five kals are used differently. Kohanim levim mechad kal. Kohanim levim are used, part of one kal is including them together. They're part of one shevet. We have the Gemara tells us in a few places that there are 24 places in Tanakh where the word levim is used to indicate really kohanim. So we see levim and kohanim are somewhat interchangeable. They're all part of the same shevet. So Rabbi Yehuda thinks they are considered one kal, includes kohanim levim together. That now gives us another kal is available. So ice or like kal. So one kal now is available to teach me that kal gerim, that gerim are part of the kal, and they are not allowed to marry a mamzeres. Ibar Zemel, alternatively the Gemara suggests, Hachanami Tre Kali Ninu. Really, you need a separate kal for Kohanim and a separate kal for Levim. And Mamzer B'Shtuki, B'Shtuki B'Yisrael, Mechad Kal Nafka. Those two concepts, Mamzer marrying Shtuki, Shtuki again was, he knows the mother but doesn't know who the father is. So that's permitted, and also that such a Shtuki can marry a Yisrael, that's all learned out from one kal. And then for the other Pasuk tells us that it's to teach us that Kal Gerim is Ikre Kal. Okay. Gemara now says, this is part of it continuing, the Gemara says, Lo Yavo Mamzer B'Kal Hashem. So a mamzer is not allowed to marry into a kal Hashem. That's why he can't marry a ger. So mamzer vaday hu delo yavo. Only a vaday mamzer cannot marry into the kal. Ha mamzer safek yavo b'kal. But one who's only a safek, we don't know it's a vaday. It might be. A shistuki might be. A sufi might be considered a mamzer. We don't really know. A safek mamzer is permitted to come into safek yavo b'kal. Again.
I think it's yavo, and then b'kal
vada. Yeah, yavo, okay. Now, b'kal vada, now what it enters in, that mamzer, the like mamzer, what's permitted into what type of kal? B'kal vada hu d'lo yavo, he can't go into a vada kal that we know for sure has the status of being a full-fledged kal, but ha b'kal safik yavo. But if it's not sure whether it's permitted, like a shtuki, it's a safik kal or not, we don't know the status, then a person is allowed to marry a safik shtuki.
So that's a hemshech, because we're saying both of those are from the same pasuk about mamzer shtuki.
That's the same concept. I see that. Those two halachas are learned from the same pasuk. Of mamzer b'shtuki and shtuki b'yisrael, learned out from the same drasha. If I know a guy is a vaday, part of kal, And a guy, I don't know if he is, I don't know who the father is. So he might be part of the Kaal, but he also
that's
might not be.
That's the one that comes to the Kaal. What about in regards to the Kaal, which is something?
No, that's what he says, both sides here. Lo yavo mamzer b'kaal Hashem. So lo yavo mamzer, only mamzer v'adah is a problem, but a savik, good morning, but a savik mamzer is permitted, but from the end of the Kaal, a Kaal v'adah is permitted, but a savik Kaal is not permitted.
Okay.
Okay. Says the Gemara, Yibai Seima.
What is the word ha is in there, right?
No, the word is, that's the drasha. Ha, the Gemara drasha is ha, but the implication is the opposite would be different. Marnell says, yeah.
Like, what's the, when some kahal is leheter and some kahal is lehiso? No, we have like the.
Well, we have
like,
the word.
Like the first three are leheter. Are
the
Isser, right?
Well,
Kohanim to Levi.
No, not the Isser. It's not the Isser. It's to teach us that they are part of the Kaal. They have therefore higher standards. They can only marry people who are also in the Kaal.
Okay, but then the last two, it says, yeah, Le Mishre Mamzer Vishtuki. I'm going to the Reisha. Le Mishre Vishtuki Bishrael. So why would suddenly we take three? Two Le Mishre and three not Le Mishre.
So the last two cases that you're pointing out here, we're darshing the whole pasuk that says Lo Yavo Mamzer Bekal Hashem, so that implies that only a Mamzer can come in, but a Shtuki can. I see it's a slightly different drasha. I'm asking, but then the Gemara says Vivai Seima. Alternatively, Gemara suggests Haninami Trei Kali Ninu. No, the halachas of Mamzer Shtuki and Shtuki Bisrael is also learned out from two different kals. The time of Rabbi Yehuda. So why is Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning? Why does he think now, according to this last Ibai Zema, there's no available kahal to teach us that a ger is part of the kahal? So what's the reason why he thinks a kahal cannot marry a mamzeres, or rather a ger can't marry a mamzeres? So time of Rabbi Yehuda mehacha from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, "Hakal chuka achas lachem ula ger." This is what your pasuk, right? Very good. So David knows Tanakh well. Good thing he grew up in Israel. So it says they have the same halacha, the chukasom. What?
Actually, it's from here.
So the kal and to the ger, that the ger is included, the ger hager, hager is included in terms of the whole grouping. It's the velager connects it through the hekesh, through the smichas apsukim. Now, Rabbi Yossi, chukas achas hifsekinin. He says, no. Even though it says ula hager and sounds like lager is also part of the kal, it separates with the word chukas olam. Hakal chukas achas lachem. Pause, and lager is part of the second half of the pasuk, and therefore lager is not included as part of the kal according to Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, I'll quote from what we saw earlier: Echad hager v'echad eved meshuchar v'chalal mutar mekohenes. So we said before that although a kohen cannot marry a gioris and he cannot marry a shivcha meshucharis and he can't marry a chalala, a kohenes, a woman kohen, is allowed to marry a ger, is allowed to marry eved meshuchar and a chalal. So the Gemara says that idea is Misaye Le Lirav. This supports Rav, Damar Rav Yehuda, Damar Rav, Huzharu, Ksheros, Linasa, Lipsulim. The Kohanos, the women in Kohanim, are not warned, they do not have to be careful who they marry, they can marry whomever they want. There's Rashi quote a pasuk here. I think it's based on this week's parsha, probably in Emor would be the source for this. But I don't see anything in Rashi who quotes this source. Okay, fine. Gemara now says, Darish Rabbi Zera b'Mechuza. So Rabbi Zera went out to Mechuza, a certain city, and darshin the following drasha. Ger motir b'mamzeres. A ger is motir to marry a mamzeres, like we said earlier, according to Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi. So Ragmu kuleyama. Best Roga, I knew we were getting to something violent. David likes that. I told you. He likes it when there's fighting. So he started stoning them with estrogim, throwing estrogim at Rabbi Zera. So Amar Rava says, Rabbi Zera, Mi'ika de Darish Milsa, Ki hai beduchta de shchichi gira, are you going to mix it a josh in a place where gerim are? So this is insulting to them. The fact that you think that you're permitting them to marry whoever they want in Mamzeres, that tells the gerim that they have no higher standard of Kedushas Yisrael. They're a low level, that you're allowed to marry those psulim. And that's very insulting to them. That's not a good advice. If you want to say something, don't say in a place where it's going to insult them. Sometimes it's better to keep your mouth quiet. Okay, so now Darish Rava. Now Rava went out and made a Joshua b'Mechuza. Ger muter b'Kohenes. You're allowed to marry Kohenes, and they're very, very happy. Tanu b'Shirai. They started by giving him like a silk and very nice clothing. They're very happy. They started giving him presents. So Rava knew what he was doing. So Hadar Darish Lahu. So then he said, after he said that, Ger muter b'Mamzeres. Then after saying that, you're also allowed to marry Mamzeres. He didn't get stoned this time with Estrogim. So Amru Le. Afsidisei l'kamaisa. What, you just undid the first part. You lost the first. First you said we're allowed to marry Kohanim. So therefore, we have high standards of Kedushas Yisrael. Then you're telling us we can marry a Mamzeres, which says we have a low level of Kedushas Yisrael. Rabbi says, let me explain to you. The Tavaluchu, Avdiluchu, I'm doing a tremendous Tova for you guys. You can marry anybody you want. There are no rules. You find the beautiful Mamzeres, you find a beautiful Kenes, you can marry all of them. So don't get too upset. What's the bottom line? We pass like Rava that he is allowed to marry Kohenes, but he's also allowed to marry a Mamzeres. Why is he allowed to marry a woman Kohen? The women Kohanim are not warned. They do not have to keep the halachas of marrying Kshayim or Psulim. The Kohenes can marry anybody whom they want. But Mutter, and also Mutter Mamzeres Kreb Yosi, that he says that a Ger is not considered part of the Kahal, and therefore is allowed to marry a Mamzeres. Now this only holds true of a Ger. A Gioris is not allowed to marry a Kohen. That's Usser. We've had a case like that. Not we, when in a number of years ago, growing up in B'nai Ashur, there was such a situation where a Kohen fell in love with a certain woman. She wasn't Jewish. She converted. That itself was a difficulty, whether she's allowed to convert Mishum Nisun. But she did convert, but he's a Kohen. So Avi Weiss created some heter of some sort, and the rabbi came out and said, this is not allowed. No one should go to the wedding. And he said,
they live happily ever after.
Could be. I don't know. I'm not sure. Either way, it was a whole big to-do. Rabbi got up and said not to go. The family left the shul since then. Either way.
This was where here?
No. This isn't B'nai Ashurim growing up. I remember 20 years ago, maybe.
What about a mamzer with a gioret? Do we say that it's fine?
A mamzer and a gioret would be fine. Yeah. It would be fine.
Ways?
Yeah. Okay. Marina says the two dots, Elu hein shtuki kol shemakir. So the Mishnah told us, a shtuki is a person whose mother says, quiet, that's not your father, you don't know who your father is. So, says the Gemara, Amarava, davar Torah, shtuki kasher. Really mean deraisa? A shtuki is permitted. A shtuki, again, is one who we know who the mother is, but we don't know who the father is. That's kasher min ha-Torah. You can marry a shtuki. My time, what's the reason? Because rov ksherim etzla, we have no idea who the father is. She's a single mother. Let's say she's never married. Most people who she could possibly have a child with, it's ksherim to her. Even though it's out of wedlock, it's still a child's only a mamzer if it's one of the arayos. A woman who's not married and has a child with another man, that will not create mamzer. Even though there's not a kedushin, there's a isurim going on there, the child will not be a mamzer. So most people to her, no, most men are ksherim. They're not going to be a relative or a erva. The statistics tell us that most men in the world to her are going to be kasher. And mi psul, and only miut are going to be pasul etzla, which include her relatives and any of the arayos. So viaz the indul, so Fangamar says, and therefore that she's likely, it's likely, it's fair to assume that the father is someone who is kasher to her and the child's kasher as well. So Gemara says, V'azli in hulagava. So if the man goes to her and they have a child together, so the klal is kol de parish, muva parish, this man separated from the seaboard. The entire world, billions of men. So he's separated. So it's safe to assume that he separated as one of the rove. And the rove men with respect to her are kasher. But my armor, how could you say that? Duma azal ihi legavayu. Maybe she went to him. So what is that? Who cares who's going to who? So the difference is havele kavua. The kavua means something that's set. So the man is set. The man's home, and she goes to the man who's kavua. And the klal is when it comes to the halachas of rov, chol kavua kimechsa mechsadami. When somebody is stationary, then you don't apply the rules of rov without getting to reasons why this is. We assume it's 50-50. So if she went to him, so now he's kavua. We have to invoke mechza mechza. It's 50-50. Maybe it's someone kasher. Maybe it's somebody pasul. The Torah amra. So that's the question. So maybe she went to him, and you can assume it's rov. Because if he was stationary, he's kavua. It's mechza mechza. It's 50-50. So it's not really kasher min Torah. So the Gemara says, fine, granted it's 50-50, but still, the Torah Amra, lo yavo mamzer. The mamzer can't enter into a kal. That's only when there's a mamzer vadai who, the lo yavo. Ha mamzer safek, yavo, safek, yavo. But here it's talking about a safek mamzer. So grant, let's say I grant you 50-50. The child now, the man was home, he was kavua. She went to the man, so it's mechza, mechza. It's still 50-50. 50 that the child is kasher, 50 that the child is pasul. That's a safek. So we say only a vadai mamzer cannot marry into the kal, but a safek mamzer, and this child, at worst, is a safek mamzer. So a safek mamzer is allowed to enter into the kal. And Maris is further just finishes in the Joshua. Safek yavo bakal vadai hu dilo yavo. He cannot enter into a vadai kal aval ha bakal safek yavo. So we see midiraisa from all the halachas of rov that this child, even though we don't know who the father is, the child is actually permitted to marry into anybody, into the kahal. So matam amu shtuki pasul. So then, if that's the case, if midiraisa he's permitted, so why did the Mishnah say that shtuki may not marry into the kahal? He's pasul. Gemara says gzeira shema yisa achosa me'aviv. Since we don't know who the father is, so he might marry some other woman, and that woman's father might be his father. So he's marrying his sister, and that's an isser, that's one of the arayos. So there's a concern. We have no idea who his father is, so any sister, any girl possibly could be his sister. So Gemara says, if that's the case, se'el me'ata shtuki shtukis lo yisa, shema yisa achos miyaviv. So no, maybe the klal should be, a shtuki shouldn't marry shtukis either, because Mishnah said that a shtuki is allowed to marry shtukis, someone who's like him, who doesn't know who the mother or father is, that's permitted. So the Gemara says, Kol kihani mizane vazli bashtukis. Kol kihani mazne vazli. So we assume now that every single child who doesn't know their father is the same father. The same father who had that, you know, fatherless child is also the father of this other fatherless child. It doesn't make sense that the same person's going around having children with all these women. It's possible it is, but the Gemara says it's not really true. So Gemara ends up saying, I'm missing all these jokes that are going on. It seems to be, it's full of jokes today. When you guys say it out loud, I need to be included in this.
No, you shouldn't.
I should. Okay. Shouldn't go on the recording here. Okay. Fine. Let me know afterwards. Okay. So the Gemara says, I lost the place now, honey. Okay, Gemara says, where are we now? Bashtukis. Hey, Bashtukis lo yisa. Shema yisa achosim yaviv. So maybe the daughter of a shtukis he shouldn't marry. Perhaps he's marrying the sister from his father. So I'd lost the train of thought here. I got thrown off. Let's go through some Rashi's here. Look at the Rashi's at the end here. The last three Rashi's. May Rashi help us out. Rashi says, Shema Yisa Achosa Mi'aviv. So perhaps the shtuki we said initially, he might marry a sister who he doesn't know and having the same father, Rashi says. The Achosa Mi'ma Olek L'Meichash. We're not concerned that it's going to be the sister with the same mother. Kevin de Makirin es chamoso shibicheskas kshera lo masafkin la bimazana lo mashu haya benavish lichasa. So since they recognize his mother-in-law, so his mother would be his wife's mother. Since they recognize who his mother-in-law is, that she's becheskas kshera. Oh, this is later on. Yeah. So okay, I'm being thrown off here. Let's show you. Oh, we are much later on, yeah. Much earlier. I see. So we're. I'm sorry, guys. Go up 8 lines. Sorry, Bashtukis and Rashi. Rashi says, "Shenolda al yedei nesuin, shenisesh lemutala." So this child was born to kasher marriage, exactly. So the shtukis now went ahead and married someone who was mutter to the shtukis, and they had a daughter. So now there's a concern. Lo yisana, says Rashi, shtuki. This shtuki now, who doesn't know the father, shouldn't marry this daughter, who's a kasher daughter, but her mother. So now the shtuki's mother-in-law. The mother-in-law is the shtukis. Shema beno shel bal shtukis hu. Because he might be the son of his father-in-law. Okay. Sheba al imo shel shez etchila biznes v'chakach nas shtukis. So a lot going on here. A lot of confusion. In the end of the day, the Gemara says, Ella, go back to the Gemara now. Very unlikely that's going to happen, that he's going to end up marrying his sister from the father he doesn't know. Gemara says, Ella lo shchicha. It's very uncommon. Hachanam lo shchicha. Just like that case of marrying the bash shtukis is going to be his sister is unlikely, so too this case is very unlikely he'll ever marry somebody who's actually going to be her sister. So if that's the case, why in the world are we making a gzera? We just proved before that a shtuki is minat Torah, is actually kosher. Ella mala asu b'yuchsin. They wanted to have very high standards for yuchsin. You're marrying somebody, you want to make sure you know who the mother is, you know who the father is. You're right, mikra din, she's kosher, but you want to have the highest level of standards of yuchsin.
How does all these medical procedures come into here?
It's a big shayla. Big shayla. It's a discussion in the postgim. Who the mother is, all these IVF things, and getting eggs from others. That's it's a discussion. Right. Who's the mother?
Interesting.
Yeah. The postgim do discuss this. Gemara says, Amarat Rava says, Davar Torah, Asufi Kasher. Now, Sufi, we said, was a child that was found out somewhere in the Shuk, dropped off, no idea who the mother or father is. Min HaTorah, the child is Kasher, even though we have no idea who the parents are. My time, what's the reason? Ashish Ish, Bibaila Tola. So in Ashish, let's assume the mother was a married woman, and we assume she was with her husband.
Why don't you go after the role, like a Elam Metzias?
If it's Roy, why do you think he's Jewish, the kid?
They had a Mila. Mustami had a Mila. Actually, not necessarily true. It could be. No, so it might be a situation where the shuk was in a Jewish shuk and rove people.
So
assuming that way, I think it's a very good point. Assuming that's the case, that it's a Jewish marketplace where most people there are Jewish, so we could assume the child is Jewish as well. But now we need to know after we've established.
Or you would think that Goyim know that Jewish people take care of their kids better.
Could be, but they have Rove. No, but Rove and me. It's a Rove and. So who do you follow? It's a Rove people. Jews.
I'm sure that most of the people that give up their kids like that are Goyim.
I don't know. I'm not so sure.
You don't think so?
Again, nowadays, I don't think it's common
at
all.
How many Jewish mothers give away their kids?
It's not, we're not saying this is common, but once if it happens, so you go based on the Rove. So Gemara says you could assume the child is Jewish. After establishing is Jewish, you could even assume the child is a kosher yid. How? Because again, Eish is Ish b'bayla tola. We assume that the married woman was with her husband. Rov bilos achar baal. And ma'ika, mi'at arusos u'mi'at shalach b'aylem l'midis hayam. There are a few situations of women who are arusos and have children. And there are a few situations where women whose husbands go overseas when they became pregnant. And kevendika p'nuya, but since there are many women who are single. And nika nami demachmas ravon hava. And there are many situations where it's the kosher marriage and a kosher pregnancy. But because of the famine, they couldn't support the child. So we have, ends up being, pal gapag, ends up being an even half-half mechsa. So it's 50% it came from a person whose father was through mamzeris. And 50% chance it came from a kosher situation. So since it's pal gapag, vatora amra, lo yavo mamzer berkal Hashem, mamzer vaday hu de lo yavo, only a vaday mamzer cannot enter into the kal, but a ha mamzer safik yavo. But if it's only a safik mamzer, which this case is a safik mamzer, we have no idea who any of the parents are, that's only a safik mamzer at worst, so that's permitted. The kal vaday hu de lo yavo, he can't enter into a vaday kal, but ha bakal safik yavo, he's allowed to marry a safik kal. So we see from here, it's 50-50 what the status of the child is, and we permit midiraisa for this child to marry into the kal. So ma tam amru asufi pasul. So why then did the Mishnah say that an Asufi is disqualified and he cannot marry into the Kahal? Gemara says, Shema Yisa Achosim Yabiv, because since we have no idea who the father is, it's possible that this child might go ahead and marry his sister, not knowing who the father, who his father was. El Miat, if that's the case, Asufi is Lo Yisa. So then, if that's the case, we shouldn't even allow an Asufi boy to marry an Asufi's girl, because Lo Yisa, Shema Yisa Achosim Ben Aviv Ben Imo, because maybe it's going to be the same father or the same mother. So Gemara says, Kol Hani Shadi Vazli. So we're going to assume that the same parents are the same ones who are having all these children and throwing them out in the shuk? He says, no. So we say, Basa Sufi Lo Yisa, Shem Yisa, Achosa, Elo Shchiach. So we should have all these different concerns. Same thing as above. It's really not common. It's really very unlikely that this Sufi is going to end up marrying his sister. Hachanami Lo Shchiach. So we assume this whole situation is very, very uncommon. So Ella, what's the reason why we ended up saying that a Sufi is possible to marry into the Kaal? Same klal as above, ma'ala, asub, yuchsin. They have higher standards they want to have when it comes to yichus and marrying people in klal yisrael. We have just higher standards. It's all midirabanan. Okay. Gemara now says, going to the bottom, wow, it's very late. Amar Rava says, bar Rav Huna, matza mahul. You find a child in a sufi in the shuk who has a bris mila. Ein bo mishum asufi. That does not have the status of a sufi, because Rashi explains, if the parents went ahead and gave a mila to the child, we could assume that parents cared about the child, and therefore something else happened, and it was Jewish. The person who was...
David's question is pretty good.
That what?
That if it's an asufi, that he didn't have a mila, so the question is even bigger.
Well, so that's what we're saying. So since Rove, people in that area are Jewish, we could assume it's Jewish.
Right.
But this case, they went ahead, if the child was supposed to be a kosher child, then the parents would not have went out of their way to give a mila to the child. But the fact that they gave a mila indicates that the child is kosher. Then the Gemara says, Meshalti Hadamea, what does that mean? Meshalti Hadamea, Rashi says, you see that the Evarv Musukin Musharim, that the body, the limbs are very in order, so the parents took care of the child to make sure he was in order, and then something came up and they couldn't handle taking care of the child, that also indicates that they cared about the child. It wasn't just a puzzle child, it was a kasha child, but for whatever reason they had to leave the child out in the shuk. That's also Ainbo Mishum Asufi. Let's say the child is shayf mishach mishche. There's some oil they put on the skin. Umali kochlo, they made some nice eye shadow around the eye. Rami chumre, or what's Rami chumre? Rashi doesn't say. Oh, there we go. It's some ties and knots for fuah purposes they put around the child. Or tali piske, they place some kemios on the child, some psukim and words. Vitali Kimia. So Rashi show ikarim, like certain types of herbs or roots they place on the child. Certain things that indicate that they actually cared about the child. Ain bo mishum asufi. We don't assume the child is an asufi, has a din of a mamzer. It's actually a kasha child, but they realize the parents they couldn't handle having this child at some point. Then tali bedikla. Let's say the child was found hanging from a palm tree. Very, very sad. All these cases are very sad. If it's in reach of a wild animal, it's low down. Yeshua mishum asufi. The parents didn't care about it, and the parents wanted to have the child killed and eaten. Now that has a din of asufi. Imla, but if the child was hanging very high up where a wild animal couldn't reach it, then ain bo mishum asufi. The parents wanted the best for their child. They cared about the child. They just couldn't take care of it, so they put it in a place where people would see, and hopefully someone would have rachmanis and take the child in. Then the Gemara says, Zerata Samicha Lamasa, if it is Zeradasa, which is a certain type of tree that's found outside the cities, which is very common with Shadim around them. So if it's Samicha Lamasa, if it's next to the city where there are a lot of Shadim, Yeshba Mishima Sufi, then the parents didn't care so much about the child. But if it's a situation of Imlav, if it's far from the city where there are no Shadim, then Ain Bo Mishima Sufi, then the parents really cared about the child and wanting the best for the child, they just couldn't handle it. They put it in a place where hopefully somebody would find the child. Let's say they place it in Beit Knishta, Samichas Lamasa, Vishpichi Bei Rabim. They place it in a shul near the city where people would frequent. Ein Bo Mishum Asufi. They place it there. This way somebody could find the child and take care of it. That's not a din of Asufi. Vimla, but they placed it somewhere else in a shul that's in the middle of the desert, let's say, where no one was found, then Yesh Bo Mishum Asufi. That does have the status of an Asufi. Amar Meimar. Meimar says, Hai Pira de Sofli, the fruit of Sofli. What are fruits of Sofli? Rashi says, they found in the dirt. Rashi explains a little bit lower down. Nimsa bechafira asui lahatil sham garine tamarim. A little dirt ditches where they place date seeds in them. Lemaicha behemas for the animals to eat from. That has the din of an asufi. They didn't care for the child so much. Then the Gemara says, Harifse denara. Harifse denara is like the sharpness of the river, by the rapids maybe, where the common passing of boats. Bemsa. Yeah. How do they define harifta though? What do they say?
It says current. Channel.
Okay. They place in the channel where boats are passing by pretty frequently. So the Gemara says if the child is placed there.
Like Moshe.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's placed there, exactly, it's placed there on the river. So Moshe was not an Asufi, obviously. Moshe was not an Asufi because it placed on the, this mamish is the harifta dinara. So placed on the harifta dinara, Gemara explains, ain bo mishum asufi. They wanted the parent, someone to see the child. Pishrei yesh bo mishum asufi. If it was placed in Pishrei, which is a place where the river was starting to come down, the snow was starting to melt, where boats don't pass by, it's somewhat of a waterfall, or maybe a slanted type of a waterfall. So then the halacha is yesh bo mishum asufi, because boats don't pass by there, so we assume it's an asufi. If it's tziti v'shus harabim, tziti v'shus harabim, if it's a side, little offshoots of v'shus harabim, ain bo mishum asufi, but if it's v'shus harabim itself, yesh bo mishum asufi. But if it is, mamash in v'shus harabim, I guess where the child is in danger of being trampled, perhaps, then that's a din of being an asufi. Amar Rava. Rava says now, Ubishnei Ravon, during the times of famine, where they couldn't support the child, give anything to eat, ain bo mishum asufi anywhere. No matter where it was, no matter where the child's found, it's not mishum asufi. And the reason is, Rashi explains, if you look lower down, Bishnei Ravon, Shaharbe Nishlachan. Many people couldn't, unfortunately, they could not support their children. And many people threw their children out into the shuk and the rivers and whatnot. Loratu Chachamim Lepos Lamachmas Yitzias Kol. They didn't want to just disqualify them just because of a certain rumor, a certain Asufi. They removed that psul of Asufi because we said, Mikra Din, the child is actually kosher. So they removed that psul during Shnas Ravon. So Gemara wants to know now, Had the Rava Ahai. Rava's statement about Shnei Ravon is Ein Bo Mishum Asufi. What exactly, which line was that going on? Ilema Rosh Hashanah, it's referring to when it was placed in Rosh Hashanah. So then, and we said, when normally the child's in Rosh Hashanah, we assume it's an Asufi. But Aidi the Shani Ravon Katlele, because it's during the time of famine, they want to kill a child by placing the child Rechman Leslan in the Rosh Hashanah. So he wants to kill him. Hakalale, he wants to kill him. The fact that Shnei Ravon doesn't change anything. He wants to kill a child anyways. That's why they place him in Rosh Hashanah. Ella, that can't be the case. Whenever the child is placed in Rosh Hashanah, that's clearly in the intention of having the child killed. So no matter when it was, we assume it's in a Sufi. Ella must be going at Tzidi Rosh Hashanah, where it's off to the side, where it's likely a child can be seen by people passing by, but the child won't be in danger. So he said, that's not Mishum Asufi. So my ear Yishnei Ravon. So why only during the years of famine? I feel below Shnei Ravon. We said, even when it wasn't the years of famine, such a child in the tzidei rishus rabbim is actually kosher. So that's not what Rava is referring to. The Rava, when Rava was saying it, it was aha damar Rav Yehuda amarav Rabbi Abba amar Rav Yehuda amar Berzvadi amarav, which is kozman shebeshuk aviv v'imo neman olav. So long as a child is still in the shuk, the parents are believed. They're believed to say what that this is our child. I guess that's not a dimna sufi. But nesv mineshuk. But if the child is already gathered and taken by some family, then ein neman olav. The parents can't come back and say, oh, that's our child over there. And he's not an Asufi. He has a real Kedushas Kal. My time, what's the reason? Because Amarava, Ho v'yotza lov shem Asufi. Once a child has the reputation of being an Asufi child, there's no way of undoing that, no matter if people claim that it's there. So that's what he was saying. And on that, Amarava, Rava says, on that statement, Hu b'shnei Rava, during the times of famine, apa pisha nesaf min hashuk, aviv v'imo neman olav. In that case, if parents come along afterwards, that's actually our child, we just couldn't handle supporting him, then we do trust the parents that they are the rightful parents and the child can be a kosher child. Gemara now says, Amar Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda says,
did they put a siman on him or something?
Good question. I'm not sure if a siman works or not. Could be a certain beauty mark they saw, I don't know.
Well, we said before, even if he had like these ties or...
Yeah, but that's not a simon, that's a simon muval. A simon muval, that's on the body.
I think it's called a chomer,
right? No. No, that's when it was left out initially. We left out, it was taken care of. We're talking about, okay, let's say a child was an asufri. There's no indication at the point. Parents come along, I know he has got a beauty mark on the bottom of his left foot. So will that work?
Maybe somebody else already took
right.
him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
After being an asufri, will that work? So it seemed like it would work, I don't know.
Right.
Whereas Amar Rav Chizda, Rav Chizda says Shlosh and Emanim La'alter, there are three people who are believed La'alter immediately only, but not La'achar Zman. After time passes, they're no longer believed.
Yish doesn't come into this? The fact that they gave him up?
I don't think so, no. Eluhei, and the following are believed. Asufi Echayo Poteres Chavoseha. So they believed right away. Now, Sufi Hadamran, we mentioned before that the parents only believe La'alter so long as the Sufi is still in the Shuk. But La'achasman, after the Sufi has been taken by a family, parents can't come along and say, this is ours. Chaya, what's the case of a Chaya, a midwife? So what's she's believed La'alter only? The Sani, the Brisa teaches us, Chaya ne'menes lomar zeyata rishon v'zeyata sheni. The twins that are being born, she's able to say, oh, that one was the Bechor and that one's not the Bechor. When is this true? It's only if one child, as long as one didn't leave and come back in, they just came out one after the next. And then she's believed which is the first, which is not. Aval Yatza, yeah.
Hmm? Right. She didn't leave.
She didn't leave and come back. Aval Yatza, if she left and then she returned, she's not believed anymore because she wasn't able to pay attention to what was going on. As long as she's in the room the whole time, she's believed to say Zayatza Rishon, Zayatza Sheni.
Very, very similar, so you might think that once she leaves, she won't be able to go off
on that. So then Rabbi Elazar says, Omer, Huchsaka al Omedes Nemanes, Vimlav Eno Nemanes. Only if she's on the birthing stone, she's right there, is she believed. But if she's not holding on, she's not right there by the birthing stone, even if she's in the same room, she turns around even for a moment, then she won't be believed anymore. My benai, what's the difference in afkamina between these two opinions of the Tanakhama versus Rabbi Eliezer? The difference is the hadra ape, if she turns herself around. So according to the Tanakhama, that's still, she's believed, as long as she doesn't leave the room, she's still believed. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, if she turns her face, she's not believed, she has to be mamish, paying attention the entire time while in the room. Gemara now says, Poteres Chavroseha, Mahi, what's the case of that she's believed about her friend being Pater? Mahi, the Gemara quotes a mission in Nida, the Tznan, Shalosh Shanim Shayu Yishanos Bemita Achas. Three women were lying down in the same bed. Benim Sadam Tachas Achas, man, there's blood below one of them, Dam Nida. Kulam Tameos, we're all assuming that it's Dam Nida, we don't know which one it was under. So we're all assuming that they're Nida, they're Tame. Badcha Achas, man, if one of them checks, Benim says, Tameos, she checks herself and realizes she's Tameos, she's the Dam Nida. He Tameos, Vechulam Taros, so now she could tar, Matar, the rest of them, the other two are now Tar, because she's where the Dam came from. Rav Chizda says that's only true shebad ka'atma kishir vases. Only if she checks herself mamish right away of the shir vases, whatever shir vases is, a few moments later. But if she checks herself 10 minutes later and she finds that she's damnida, that does not exempt the others from being a damnida. We can assume they're damnida as well. Okay, let's stop here. We'll stop a little early. I apologize, but we'll pick up here tomorrow. Mirta Hashem. Okay. Welcome. Shalom aleichem.